was all a dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 493. So we are lucky that someone has rejoined us who has been missing from the last couple episodes, and I'm double-checking to make sure the volume is recording, so please record loud. But he just said you read, 21 books?
Yeah.
This is going to be each one point by point. Yeah, this is going to be the Dave podcast. And he's going to, that would be silly. Unless he gives me a link to it, and then I can put the link in the podcast notes so you can see the presentation.
Nothing wrong will happen there.
But I am Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics, and joining me tonight are
Spencer,
Mike, Dave,
and the dogs are sound asleep, which is good. So, I don't know, not a whole lot has gone on, not a whole lot has happened, although there was a little fun thing that happened late last week after the podcast, which was kind of fun. Comics made national news again, which is always fun when you can have...
For what?
30-year-old comics, specific graphic novels making the news, that some people don't like them.
Oh, Miles.
Yeah.
They're beyond idiotic. Yeah. Do you know the sales have gone through
the roof? Through the roof. Yeah, we're limited on how many we can get, I think. I ordered a bunch. Not a bunch. I think I ordered five. Just because I've had people calling. I'm like, I normally have one in. I sell one a year. You know, it's not something I stock deep. You know, a great book. I read it once. No desire to read it again. It's kind of like Chernobyl. Mm-hmm. I watched it. No thanks. I mean, it was very, very good.
What was the reasoning for the banning?
They said goddamn in the book.
So.
And the nudity was his mom after committing suicide in the tub.
Yeah.
So it was a drawing of a mouse. So per anthropomorphic mouse. In the tub,
so and they drew a dot for a nipple.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, my favorite was one of the people saying, "Well, I didn't read it, but the reviews didn't make it look like a fun book or something like that." And it was like,
"It's the Holocaust, wow. You morons! Yeah. It's so, not really a fun time."
But yeah, it was just kind of it was interesting their reasoning. I'm like, God, 15-year-olds can't read the word "damn."
Because they don't say that when they're 10 or know what that is.
Yeah.
It's a Pulitzer Prize winning book.
Yeah. They're saying read a Spider-Man. You know, this is a fairly important piece of work, you know.
Well, that's their excuse to, you know, because they can't say the real reason why they won it off themselves. Right. That's what.
Thanks, Spencer.
That's the technicality that they can get it on.
Yeah, exactly. And the whole premise is, if you know anything of the history of the Nazis, that's what they were into, burning books and censorship.
That's what makes it... The one that I really
because
enjoyed
that's
is people
not
like
a fascist
the
thing
people
to
that
do.
Ban books are never on the right side of history. Never.
But they don't understand it because they don't know history. They're not smart enough to even look into history. Oh, my God.
What did Dr. Henry Jones Sr. say? Indiana Jones and Last Crusade.
We named the dog Indiana.
They should read these books instead of burning them.
Yep, absolutely. But the other thing, like Colin says, I guarantee you 90% of the people that agreed that want this book banned didn't read it, aren't going to read it, and have no knowledge of this book.
For sure.
Didn't even open the book. They just heard what somebody possibly had said and go, okay, let's ban this thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, yes, there's lots of, you know, disturbing images, even though there are drawing and it's anthropomorphic. But, I mean, yeah, it wasn't exactly a fun, happy time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, if you're enlightened and you want to find more banned books, go to Barnes & Noble. They have a nice section. It's called Banned Books. And you could see all these books that people thought were inappropriate. And one of them is Fahrenheit 451.
And which is
exactly what it's about, burning and get rid of books because they didn't want people to have knowledge.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, it's the mantra of the extreme. Keep them stupid, keep them, you know, uninformed, and it works.
Yeah, I just when that came up, I was just like, okay. But I mean, both my kids read it at Peter's, you know.
Benjamin read in high school.
Yeah.
Luke read my copy.
Yeah.
In fact, I looked. I saw my copy the other day when I was going through some graphics looking for some gift to Luke. And I go, oh, Miles, I'd like to read that again.
And then the only other piece of news I saw was Brian, editor Brian Augustin, had a massive stroke over the weekend and passed away. He wrote Gotham by Gaslight. He also was a co-writer with Mark Waid on his Flash run.
He was also a writer on Spawn for a while, too.
Okay.
And that's how I know him.
Yeah.
He was, what, 57?
No, I think he's 60. Yeah, late 60s.
67,
yeah.
Okay. That sucks.
Yeah, so that was stinky. But I really didn't see any other news that I'm aware of. We have two questions.
Oh, wow.
Let me get to the question.
Dave's a lucky charm.
I want to see if Dave's going to answer his own question.
Of course.
Yeah, I have an answer for it.
I know I would. The only reason I would ask a question if I had the best answer for it. So.
I don't have the best answer, but I have a good answer for me.
Okay, Dave asks... Yesterday was the 30th anniversary of Image Comics. What's one of your favorite Image books? It doesn't have to be your favorite of all time, just one that you like that's maybe under the radar. Now, I have a weird thing where I wasn't reading comics when Image came out. That was post-college. I had no money, but I still had my subscription to the Comic Buyer's Guide. My mom kept that going for me. So I kind of knew of it, but it took me a while to... actually read it, and most of it, you know, I was picking up out of, you know, quarter boxes and stuff. So
I was reading Marvel at the time, and I knew, and I followed McFarlane, I knew Silvestri, Jim Lee, and of course, and all these guys, and they'd left, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So I bought every single book.
Yeah,
but the one that stood out to me that I enjoyed was Wildcats. I liked Wildcats. Cyber Force was not very good. Savage Dragon, and Spawn was good for the art and stuff like that, but other than that, and then there was one that was supposed to come along, one of the artists, and his house got destroyed in the Philippines or whatever, and it, like, his book never came out. I can't remember even what it was, but probably the most successful one was Spawn, which is still going, and Jim Lee for Wildcats, and then there was the Ultimate Youngblood with Liefeld.
So Wildcats aren't even part of Image anymore.
Right. Mm-mm. Yeah, so it's funny when we get to me, I don't even know if my favorite Image book was actually published by Image, so I'll get to that. It was a Wildstorm book, but I don't know if it was an Image or if it was at DC.
See, whenever I was first getting into I didn't read comics until I was almost in probably, 7th or 8th grade, getting ready to go into, high high school.
He finally caught up the words.
Well, yeah, that was the thing. Point.
You didn't realize they were just picture books. He was excited.
Yeah, no, but that was it. I had trouble reading when I was younger, and comics actually did help with that. But whenever I finally got into them, that was close to whenever, Image hit it.
Caleb helped him with the picture
books. Yeah.
He went, oh, I like that. There's boobs.
Yeah. That's kind of when they kind of hit their second stride again. So I was kind of into, was getting into a lot of that kind of stuff. I liked a lot of the old stuff, I don't really have or found issues in in the 50 cent bins and stuff because there's so many of them now. But I don't know. There's so many Image books, especially recently, that I feel like Birthright probably doesn't get enough credit for just being a really solid kind of fantasy book and stuff. I don't know. I could probably not name 10 Image books that are probably.
You were talking about Chris before is Invincible with Kirkman.
Yeah, but though I think that one is kind of, especially now with the show and stuff. I think people have have gone to reading that and.
Well, one of the ones that I remember, I don't even know if it was how long he was on Image, was Matt Wagner's Mage, and that was a great run, and then it just stopped.
Yeah. He finally finished it.
Did he finish it? Yeah. Okay, yeah. I enjoyed that, too. Dave?
The book I wanted to mention was a book called Proof, by 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's about Sasquatch named John Prufrock. They call him Proof. And he has a partner, and they work for this division of the FBI called The Lodge, and they investigate cryptids and strange animals and phenomena. There's a whole mythology to it. Riley Rossmo did the art.
Okay.
Ooh.
And so it was, you know, like an X-Files kind of thing, but it's really good. It's really good.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, you did? Okay. My favorite was The Authority. I came to that way late and just through trades. Mm. So I think when I got the trades, it was DC.
That was Wildstorm DC.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Shoot. Okay. Because that was one of my favorites. I thought that was outstanding. And then I remember after reading, and I didn't read all, but I think I read the Ellis and Miller runs, and then I went back and read the Stormwatch that Ellis wrote leading into it, which was a fascinating way to read it. It's almost backwards, because you were reading all about Midnighter and Apollo and how they'd been created, and you know they keep talking about Henry Bendix, and you just don't know what, and then you go back and read the Stormwatch, which was all the Bendix, and it was like, I read it backwards, but I thought it was really a fascinating way to do it. So... Other than that, I mean, they've had a lot of good stuff. I read a lot of Chew.
Yeah,
I never
really
finished
good,
it, but that was really good. Loaded Bible that we were kind of talking about a little bit is coming back. I remember, I'm like, this is just, you know, so blasphemous, I can't order. And then I ordered in, and I had a copy come in just mangled by UPS. I'm like, okay, I'll take this home and read it. And it was really a good
book. Well, I'm interested, for Christmas, I got the four volumes of Battle Pope.
Okay.
So I'm
interested.
That was like one of his first things. So I'm interested to whenever I finally get a chance to sit down and check to see how, you know, how those are.
Then there's stuff that I've been wanting to read, like I've never made it past the beginning of like Wicked and Divine. And
yeah.
That one went along. I really liked Lazarus. I read that for a while, but ended up getting not finishing it. You know, and all those...
that's a quarterly, or did it finish?
I think it finally finished. Not Lazarus. Lazarus is good. No. Crap. What was the name of that one? It was the one where it was like a small town in Wisconsin, and all of a sudden, like, people were coming back from the dead, and they weren't...
Revival?
Revival, that's it. And that was really good.
And so I never finished that whole series, and I haven't started it yet.
Yeah, that was good. But yeah, I mean, Image... Especially now where it's more of a creator-owned, not farm, but, you know, that's where people go. There's been, I mean, just every, you know, different creator has their own little thing that has been successful, if not just there, but lots of places.
Have you ever checked out the Ninja Turtle run that was on Image?
I have the Eric Larson called Body Count.
Yeah.
And Simon Bisley did the covers.
Jeez.
It was pretty brutal, but no, I've never gone back and gotten the Image run.
Because IDW reprinted them.
The Image ones?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's cool. Well, because the Image ones, they went back to being black and white originally. So whenever they reprinted them, they added color to them.
Okay.
And there was, like, three issues that was left of the series that never got put out. And, like, they put out, like, the last, like, three issues.
Really?
I think they're out in trade now, too.
I'll have to go look. That's cool. Yeah, but I still remember seeing that. And I was just like, because I was a big Bisley fan. And I'm like, oh, this is kind of violent. This is kind of cool. And I think it was just, like, a four or five issues. I can't remember.
There was one that I read from the early stuff. I think, was it Brigade? It was like about a UN-sanctioned team. Brigade. I thought that was actually really, really well done.
Right after Youngblood, I want to say. And the bad thing that Image did, and it was always art before substance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And anybody that could draw like Liefeld got a job immediately.
Right.
And Brigade reminds me of what that was, you know.
Yeah, but that was one that kind of stuck in my head, because I had tried them all. Spawn never did anything for me, but I liked the MTV show. Was it MTV?
No, HBO.
Cartoon, I thought was really well done.
There's always talk of that coming back, but...
It was so dark and moody. It was just, it blew the comic away. Yeah. It was just awesome. Oh, how can I forget this? Oh, my God. Max.
Okay.
By Sam Keith.
I never knew what was going on.
I had no idea what was going on. Yeah. I wasn't high. I should have been high. But, oh, my God, the art, if you're a Sam Keith fan, the art is just incredible. And I got the whole run. I remember all of that. I would go with that one, yeah. Cool. Aiden had the little action figure with his claws. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was cool. And he couldn't tell a story. And he had to have somebody help him write it, too.
Yeah, and the cartoon, that was on MTV. Yeah. That made no sense whatsoever.
Eon Flux was on there as well, and there was one other one.
Was that? The guy Liquid TV?
Liquid TV, Liquid television.
Eon Flux was, I mean, you're just staring at it going,
wow.
Yeah.
Takes me back.
Yeah.
Good old days.
Good times. Good times. Yeah, okay. Now, I enjoy this question. This not just the question, but who's asking it. So, this is from Mike Sterling of Sterling. I think Sterling Silver Comics. I'm sorry,
sounds
Mike.
Like a
yeah, Sterling Silver Comics out in Ventura, California. Or, I think out in Ventura, out that way. He used to work for another guy. I've been reading his blog for 16 years since I started surfing the internet. For information about opening a comic book store. Basically, I wanted to learn what do I need to know that I don't know, because I don't know anything. So I was very open to anything. You know, just, you know, what am I getting myself into? And this was about a year before I opened. And I found he had written some articles, and I read them when he was working at Ralph's. And then he does a blog called Progressive Ruin. And used to be daily. I think it's a little less frequent now. I haven't read it in a while, and I apologize, Mike. But it used to be every day I would be reading it. But that same, like, I don't go to comic book resources anymore. You know, I'm not checking online like I used
to.
Well,
that's the point. You don't need to do
that. Right, but, it, but yeah, I mean, that just used to be a thing, and it's just not anymore. But so I've been, you know, I know Mike. I've never met him, never spoken to him, but I've certainly read enough. He's a big Swamp Thing in the... Frank Miller's the Spirit fan, but he asked a question. This is definitely for me, but how are you keeping ahead of the speculator apps and YouTube channels and all that nonsense? Do you force down the bile and peruse them yourself to be forewarned, or do you wait for the phone calls to start coming in for this week's hot book? So what I found, I'm on all the retailer forums on Facebook. And typically, I'll find out there when something's hot. And someone there will say, hey, keep an eye out. Thor 20 is suddenly going through the roof because somebody is paying attention. And so you're able, and the good thing is, normally it starts going nuts before they even arrive. So it's real easy. Hey, I don't have them. I can't sell them. And then once they come in, with my point of sale system, I just keep them offline. I don't put it on the website. And here in the store, I then put them behind the counter. And if a regular asks for a copy, I'm happy to give it to them. But I'm just trying to keep it from the people who are going to sit in their car. And I sell it for $4, and you know they make a $16 profit sitting in their car. That's not good for anybody, only because that's one less I can sell and means I'm not going to sell a copy of the next issue or the next issue because I won't have, you know. It's a delicate balance ordering comics because you want to have enough but not too many. And when they have these little flurries, it's tough. Like today, it was Spider-Man was hot. And it's like, who knows why? It's the random book.
The Red Queen, that's why.
Right, the Goblin Queen, because they've never had a different goblin, you know. I really thought the speculators were gone.
They'll never go. Man.
They were gone for a while, and we're like, God, I hope that's over, and they're all back.
That's probably because of COVID.
But it was during COVID, but then after, I don't know, I thought they were done. But so basically, I just try to keep on top of it. As far as back issues, I have a guy working for me who his main job is back issues. And he's always looking on Key Collector and stuff to see what the books that are spiking. He's paying attention to that, finding what we have, making sure, you know, people, you know, I don't care if somebody gets something, but it's just annoying when you see them come in. When all of a sudden one book hits and all of a sudden there's five people in the store magically looking for this one back issue that no one cared about. And it's like, okay. But normally we're pretty much ahead of that. I think we got a bad Google review because of that, saying that I have too much time on my hands because all my books are priced up. Well, they're priced up. They're according to market price. They're not priced for you to buy it and then sell it. That's not why I do this. So yeah, my books are priced accurately, but he was upset because he didn't want to pay market price. He wanted to buy it cheap to sell it. So it's like, oh, I'm sorry.
That's your fault, Hal?
Yeah. So, but yeah, that you just basically staying on top of it. I highly recommend getting into the Facebook forums. Specifically, I think it's like, I don't know, Comic Retailer Association and Coliseum Comics are the two where there's a couple retailers who routinely say what the hot book is. Also on Coliseum, there's a guy who goes through every week and gives us all the books. And, you know, even going, you know, this is, you know, it's more the ratio stuff, but sometimes it's the regular ones. But it's just, you know, hey, this is selling between $15 and $20. The one in 25 is going for over $100, you know, just to give us a heads up before we open. And, you know, at that point, then it's easy, you know, all of a sudden the orders come in from certain people. It's like, yeah, really? Shocking you want that. You know, I just had somebody message me because he saw in my online inventory that I had a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles hardcover that he wanted, and I don't have it set up for shipping, so, you know, as soon as they ask for something, I look it up. Yeah, it's selling for over $200 on eBay. No, I'm not going to ship it to you for $30. You know, why would I?
Why is it worth $200?
It's out of print. Out of print hardcover.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that happens all the time. So, you know, it's just staying ahead, and I mean, I'm happily sell it to my regulars at cover price. You know, that's fine, but I'm not going to, you know, ship it out to somebody, you know, that, you know, once a one time, and, you know, they don't even want it. They just want it to sell it.
They're not reading, you know, anything.
Right. They're so it's just, it's a delicate balance, but I'm always going to take care of my readers and my regulars first, the people who, you know, come in every week and help me pay the phone bill and the lights, and, you know, instead of that one guy who shows up, you know, once every 3 months for the hot book. So it's just a case of, it's a delicate balance, you know, because invariably, you know, the hot book is the one that, you know, you know, what was it? It was some book, like issue 15, some random book hit. And it's like, by the time I'm at issue 15, I know my numbers. You know, I'm not going to have 10 extra copies. Like there was one issue of Usagi Yojimbo that suddenly blew up. And it's like, I order one for the shelf. You know, good luck. Yeah, one, two, and three. I order three copies with one for the shelf.
What issue was it?
I don't remember, but it was okay. The first appearance of somebody, you know. Oh, it's
his
just,
new little sidekick.
Yeah, that could be
his cousin. Okay.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, good luck finding it.
Yeah,
you know, even like Thor 20 blew up, and it's like by issue 20, I'm not ordering an extra 20 copies. You know, and you can't get them. You know, they're not printing that. You know, they, you know, I don't know. It's just a game, but I'm not a fan of the people who do it just for them being widgets. It's just something to buy and sell. It's not something they enjoy, because I do this, you know, I'm not raking money in hand over fist. I do this because I enjoy
it. But unfortunately, Marvel and other companies and the like are pushing this with the variant covers.
Well, they are.
They're not helping.
There's a lot of fun stuff with that, too. Marvel did it this week, where a variant cover for Star Wars Crimson Reign or Crimson whatever 2 was not the same as the one that we ordered. They changed the cover, and their attitude is, cover's a cover. And it's like, no, because it's a variant cover, so we're buying it. The only reason for this book is solely the image on the cover. You can't just change that up. And, you know, it's not willy-nilly just because it's an image. It's like, it doesn't work that way. Or DC lately has been having just a ridiculously awful time. See you, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
If one of their books has three covers, like Batcat or Batman Urban Legends, they keep botching the barcodes and have the barcodes on the wrong book and ship us the wrong book. So if one of the covers is really outstanding and I order 15 of that, but only 5 of the other, they then swap the covers, and I get 5 of the sought-after one and 15 of the wrong. And their attitude, again, is, it's a cover. It's fine. There's no problem. The book's not damaged. It's like, that's really not how this works, guys. You're selling us a cover image and then not delivering, and then going, what does it matter? Well, then why did you have three covers for this book if the image doesn't matter? You know, it's just, It's very frustrating.
But they're definitely playing to the speculator market.
They are. And then, so, yeah, they're playing to that, but and we're just getting kind of pushed further and further out of the picture. Because then the other thing, because not just they're doing that, but then the next solicit is an introduction of, and it's like, you know, you're playing up, and it, but the speculators don't care about those. If it's known, if I ordered extra because of that, nobody cares. Nobody wants it. Mine's why I didn't order more of the Spider-Man. Oh, first Goblin Queen. Who cares?
Well, it's like the early 90s. Everything was a chromium or a hologram cover, and it killed the market.
Well, it's like monkey prints came in. You could order a special one that came in a red envelope, which I guess has something to do with Chinese New Year and stuff. Yeah. And it's like, okay, but that was like a $10 copy of a $4 book. No. No. You know, that it, and then I saw somebody had a picture of it and huge deep spine crease on the book as he pulled it out of the envelope. I'm like, well, that's not good. You know, for something you're paying a premium for, should at least come in good shape. But so yeah, that it's just it's staying on top of it. Luckily I have help staying on top of it. And I have help from people asking to buy the out of print trades that gives me a heads up that they're worth more. You know, it's because that I can't keep track of. And I have had people come in and they'll spend 3 hours going through the trades and come up with an eclectic selection. It's because, you know, that one's selling for $150 and I have it for $40, you know, cover price of $40. It's like, good for you, but I'm not going to make it easy. That's the one problem with Comic Hub is you can log into the main Comic Hub site and search the entire, every store that's on that, their inventory to find those hot books and then go through and buy
the hot book,
the copy from each store. I'm hearing stories about stores getting cleaned out of Thor. I think it was last week, it was 21, getting cleaned out before they even open because speculators went in and bought all their copies. I'm like, that's why I don't ship. Nobody can buy anything. You know, they can't complete the transaction unless they select local pickup. And, you know, somebody did that and said, okay, yeah, and just bill me for the shipping. I'm like, no, I don't ship. That's why I don't have, I have local pickup. I'm not wasting my time sending you free money. Yeah.
Wow.
So, but yeah, it's a pain in the butt. It's the one part of this that makes it not fun.
Do you remember when like that stuff started? Like people like, you know,
I mean, it really,
like, was it the movies?
Where the movies and TV shows have really not helped, because we'll get that book is, you know, Swordmaster suddenly is spiked, that 12-issue series that nobody bought because there's rumored he's going to be in a movie or he's going to be in a TV show, and that's playing havoc with everything.
Well, I remember when Avengers West Coast, with the first appearance of White Vision.
Yeah.
And it was after the Disney Plus show.
Right.
It's a very obscure comic. Yeah, and people were reading.
And it made what, nothing. It,
yeah. But people wanted it, and it went through the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just, yeah. It's just, whatever. So, you know, right after the Moon Knight trailer hit, all of a sudden all these Moon Knight issues are, you know, going up that 2 weeks ago were $4. You know.
But do they stay?
That I don't know. I don't think they do. I think they come down pretty quick.
Yeah.
My favorite is when they option something for a movie or a TV show and then it doesn't get made. It's like, oh, yeah, great. So that's why I get people going, oh, this got optioned. I'm like, yeah, that means somebody paid the owner $1,000 to hold the rights for 6 months.
Yeah.
Options mean nothing. So. But, oh, and... And then the last piece of news, or not news, but the feature of a book that came out, talking about stuff that came out a while ago, which is funny because this week is Image's 30th anniversary, and I looked back on to see what came out 30 years ago. Nothing. They didn't start publishing yet. So I'm like, oh, I guess just the company was formed or whatever. So I was just kind of fine. I'm like, oh, that would be a perfect thing to talk about if Dave wasn't here, and then... But I had come up with a great one a few weeks back, and Dave decided to take a sabbatical from coming. So, but it was in January He
can't read his writing.
No, I'm trying to remember.
84.
It was 84, because a bunch of stuff came out 84.
Under the eyes.
Oh, there it is. No, no, there's a bunch of stuff came out in January 1984. This is carried over from last month. But in addition to it being Assistant Editors Month, which was its own fantastic thing, we had Amazing Spider-Man 248, which was the famous Kid Who Collects Spider-Man issue.
Yeah.
We had Saga of the Swamp Thing number 20, which was the first Alan Moore issue, which means in February was the first, I'm assuming if it was monthly, I'll double check, but we'll talk about that later, because his actual first written issue. I mean, he wrote 20, but 20 was tying up all the loose ends of the prior run. So yeah, it was January 1984 was a fairly cool month. Now, Assistant Editors Month was fun, because basically the assistant editors were allowed to become the editors of all the books. And it was basically like, hijinks ensue. And each cover was stamped with a, was it Beware, it's Assistant Editors Month?
Yeah. Don't say we didn't warn you.
So you had Avengers were on Letterman with go-go checks across the top, which I loved.
Yeah, yeah.
You had, you know, Marvel team-up was Aunt May and Franklin versus Galactus. You had Peter Parker was a Fred Hembeck cover. Fred Hembeck is a very cartoony style. I have an original Hembeck Daredevil that he did for me at a convention in 1983. And then some were a little more serious. Like Hulk, I remember, had General Ross with a gun to his head on the cover, and just a wide variety. The Fantastic Four had Reed Richards. It was the first issue of the Trial of Reed Richards, but in the corner box, instead of a thing, it was John Byrne had written, "Don't you dare let the assistant editor touch this."
And a lot of the creators appeared in the books,
okay,
too, because this, like right here, I think this is Al Milgrom.
Oh yeah, you had Iron Man's Relapse. In his issue, I did write that one down. That was just a fun month, and I remember living through that, getting all the issues, just going.
I didn't know what is this? I mean, I was like, how old was I? 15 years old or something. I was like, I didn't know what to make of this. It's like, what does this mean? This isn't editor's month, you know. But it's just an excuse to have fun, which would be cool if they did something like this.
In 2022,
but
no,
it's not going to
happen.
But I can dream.
Yeah, and it was
company wide
too.
Yeah, everybody was.
No, it sounds like me. Like the editors just wanted to take a month off, or you know, an issue off. Like, hey, let's let these young guys that aren't getting paid. Hey, you know, let them do what we kick our feet up.
I'm sure the editors had their hands in it.
Yeah, it was just a gimmick.
But it was just fun. Yeah, it was just fun. So because I've been putting this one off, I haven't looked at February yet. So I will look at February and find a good
here's Franklin,
February of my Ute.
Franklin pulling out some a pack of Twinkies for Galactus. Yep.
Yeah. Which, if you don't know, that was a popular ad that ran in Marvel issues, back then. Yeah. Product placement, kids.
That was just being silly. You know, hey, guys, you can be silly for a month. You know, you imagine these writers, just under deadline and everything, and then being told, you can be silly.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's all we have for the structured portion of our of our podcast. So who wants to go first? I know Dave has 21, but we can let him sneak in and cover the ones that we don't. I know Mike said he read he said 14 or 15.
Oh,
and
I
loved every book he read. So I'm very intrigued to hear.
I'll do a couple. I'll do Robin number 10.
Yeah, right there.
So Robin is kind of time traveling, sort of, with Mother Sol, who is his great grandmother, Ra's al Ghul's mom. So
they're more like sharing memories, I think.
Yeah, because that's what's explained more, because he, bless you, has the blood of the family, obviously, and they're connected. So it's all about the demon, and she, back in her time, was praising, worshiping the demon, etc. Like, and Ra's al Ghul is more about the science, and he was trying to build the pit. So Robin's letting her tell the story, and it's going on. And then he tricks her. And I can't remember what he did. He's like...
Oh, because he's been trained, you know, since he was two, to get in the minds of his opponents.
Yeah.
And so with her letting her, like, access her mind, he's able to, you know...
But it was interesting, back then, Ra's al Ghul had his army of minions, and she had her army of minions.
Well, he had the League of Shadows, League of Assassins, and League of Lazarus to begin with.
And she had...
Well, no, she took over the Lazarus because when he brought her back, because she died, so, like, it was years later, like, she was, like, skeletons when he put her into the pit. And, like, so she didn't come back, you know.
Yeah.
Crazy, like, you know. And then so she was able to take the League of Lazarus with, like, they sided with her. Yeah. And they got banished to the island where they were having the competition.
So, yeah, she's permanently banished. And that's how she's able to
with have the magic.
With the competition. And Robin basically figures out, you know, what her game is. And it was kind of interesting, like the last page or two, it was Ra's al Ghul coming to kill her.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I've been wanting to do this for hundreds and hundreds of years. So, and I think it says mother versus son or something.
Yeah, because it was both Ra's and Talia were there.
Yeah.
Both with their army. So,
yeah.
More fighting.
I thought it was a really good issue. I'm glad we're done with the fighting on the island, and we're getting more into a little
more fighting on the island.
Yeah, but yeah, a little bit different, you know, aspects.
Well, you know, they're getting ready to go into like a crossover between Robin, Deathstroke Geek, and I think Batman. I think
are they
okay. Like the Shadow War or Shadow something?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I will do. Let's see. Devil's Reign number 3.
Yeah.
I read that.
This was really good. So is it the Ben Reilly Spider-Man? He's been interrogated by the police and they're beating the living pulp out of him
with his thingy.
His neutral
power. Yeah, power dampener or whatever. Yeah.
And he's not giving in and he's fighting it, and Human Torch and the Thing show up, and they literally just bust him out of the jail. Yeah. Oh, sorry about the door. Torch melts the door. Thing goes through the whole wall. Says, oh, sorry about your door.
Just like Kool-Aid.
I was just going to say Kool-Aid.
Yeah, exactly. And like,
instead of, oh yeah, it's clobbering time. Yeah.
And then they pick up Ben Reilly and just like take him off, and he's like, oh, I hope you guys are taking me to the hospital. And he's like, no, we're going to take you and get you better. And then there's some more interrogation. Sue storms in jail. And was that her lawyer?
I think that was in? Yeah. I think that was Kirsten McDuffie.
Okay. So she's talking to her lawyer, and
I hit her name, and it was like Ms. McDuffie. I'm like, stop naming all the characters McDuffie, because that's the name of Naomi's last name. And it's just like, I get your, it's an honor and everything, but it also pulls me right out of the story.
Yeah.
And then, it's just a name, but.
And that little sidebar was Luke Cage gave his like first speech about trying to become mayor of New York to reverse the law that Kingpin has enacted, where, you know, superheroing is illegal and stuff like that. And he's not doing well in the polls, that said. You know, like, he's not doing as well as he thought he would do. I can't remember how it ended now.
Well, they...
Oh, they start... They, Dr. Octopus's people showed up.
Okay, yeah.
Octopi.
Jessica Jones feels the presence of the Purple Man.
Oh, that too, yeah.
Because She-Hulk...
They decide they got to remove Kingpin from office.
Yeah, because She-Hulk is making sides. And that's when
Octopus shows up, and they're basically fighting to see who can take down...
Yeah.
And what was going on with the kids and some old lady, and I didn't know who that old lady was. So they're coming along...
The Purple Man...
Kids.
He tells Kingpin that... It wasn't me who took away your memory of Daredevil.
It was my children.
It was probably my kids.
Yeah. but the kids are off to
right, but,
kill dad.
But they meet some lady, and I don't know. Am I supposed to know who
no,
she is?
No, she's just a nice neighborhood lady.
I mean,
she's like, oh, can I help you?
I didn't know if we
and
were supposed
like,
to know who she
you know,
was.
And they kind of like control her, and they're like, oh, that, we shouldn't be doing that. But they're like, they need a place to stay because they're off to kill Miracle Man.
Right. But so, yeah, so the Purple Man is casting everywhere. Everybody's being affected. So.
But,
I read that one of the books I read that that's Dr. Octopus, he is Superior Four.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Where it's different octopi from different multiverses.
Yeah, they're all Otto Octaviuses.
But there's a Ghost Rider, a Hulk, and a Wolverine.
Yeah.
And then Foggy is the lawyer for Cage. And then the last couple of panels, it was some people coming to basically
talk. Oh, yeah, and they're basically going to kill him.
You're like,
oh,
you're never going to talk again. They just start beating the tar out of him. And they just kind of like leave it at that. The series has been really good.
Yeah, I thought it's been really, really good. Yeah.
Artwork's fantastic, too.
Yeah.
Good news. Same creative team on the new Daredevil number one.
Yeah, pass. Yeah, I'm done with that. The other one I will talk about is Saga.
I read number 55.
I read that.
It was a $2.99 book. It was super thick.
Yeah. Well, part of that was because they felt bad because they'd been gone much longer than planned. So
do you have?
I do.
So the first thing I noticed is like, the cover's beautiful.
Boobs. Oh, sorry.
No. The
that
cover's
was the main
beautiful.
Thing I noticed.
But look at the date of the cover.
Oh, 2 years ago.
20. Mm.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
From 20. Wow. So this has been in the can for a while.
Yeah.
And
at least the cover.
Yeah. So it picks up 3 years later.
That's what they were doing in real time.
Yeah, which is kind of cool how they did it. He's been dead for 3 years. She's about what? Hazel's about what? 9, I think she said.
10. She just
9 or
10.
Yeah, it's like 3 years after.
Yeah.
That,
so,
which is real.
She has her horns. She's talking about her dad. She's going through the town, and they stop her, and she's like, no, I'm trying to escape. And some being, I can't remember what it was.
Another one of her people. Yeah, suicide bombs.
Blows herself up and allows her to escape. And then what does she do?
Well, I think they were separate. That was a separate thing.
She's got wings.
Yeah, because from her mom.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, this is too cool.
And she makes it back home, and she has a little brother who's the prince.
The little TV boy.
Yeah, TV boy. And
but
then,
he doesn't talk.
Right.
But
he's been traumatized.
He's been traumatized. Yeah. And mom is also in town trying to sell
Baby formula.
And how does she do that?
Talking about don't breastfeed.
And she's standing there topless.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, you had me a topless. Let's okay, wow.
Then another interesting thing scene with the will.
Which was?
Little sex scene.
Oh, that part. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you forgot that part?
That was not just a little sex scene. That was hardcore.
Yeah,
I got traumatized.
But,
I'm sorry you had to see that, dude.
But the scene where she gets busted because she has to have a coin or permit to sell, and she doesn't have that. So they bust up her thing, and then along comes her buddy. What is his name?
I don't remember.
Oh, he's so...
It was a weird name.
Humanoid? Humanoid?
It starts with a B.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that guy on the cover?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says, oh,
something.
This is my husband.
I did like that little back and forth. Don't you ever call me your...
Bombazine.
Yeah, don't you ever call me your wife. Okay, boss. Don't call me boss.
Yeah.
Okay, you annoying whatever. You know, some, you know, not nice words. I thought that was funny.
But he's going to be obviously a major character.
Yeah.
You know, and then...
So he reminds me of the guy from Top Gear. Just like looking at it. Like,
yeah, I haven't
like
read this
Top
in
Gear.
A long time. I did read the last issue, but the last thing I remember was like his mom getting killed or something by the will by accident. Yeah,
there's no warning. Dave probably got
passed out.
Dave had the vapors.
He was fanning himself.
But the interesting part.
But with it closed.
Because he's the guy that killed the dad.
Yeah.
And he's carrying the head with the horns.
Yes.
And
I love Lion Cat.
I have no desire to have sex with you. Lying. Mm.
And then to the very end, there you find out that they're not just doing small crime.
Yeah, they're... Yeah.
They're smugglers.
Yeah.
And we're drug dealers.
And yeah, but we're facing pirates. How do you know? We just know.
It's a big
it's giant skull and crossbones.
Crossbones. And if you haven't read the To Be Continued note from Brian K. Vaughan, read that. It's really, really good. But I thought I'd be totally lost and confused, but just reading it brought back a lot of it. And, oh, I missed that book. It was just, it's so well written. Her artwork's great still.
Yeah. But when you turn the page, it's like,
You're like, whoa, hello. Oops. Yeah. So.
And sorry, Dave.
That's all I will. That's all I will talk about. I'm sorry. So.
That's all you're going to talk about? You didn't like it? I know you mentioned you read some you didn't care for.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't care. But
oh, okay.
Which ones didn't you like?
House of Slaughter 4.
Yeah. You didn't like that?
No. I stopped. I'm bored. I am so bored with that book. It's the same thing with the two lead characters saying, I love you. Oh, what? Oh, I love you. Oh, you can't love him. Oh. Show me some action. You know, and I was just like...
That's why you read hot alien on alien action.
The other ones I'm going to let Dave talk about and Spencer talk about, but that was the only one I just kind of just wanted.
Are you going to still get Something's Killing the Children?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like that one. So that's all I got.
Or do you want Spencer to go so you can decide which of your 21 to talk about?
Yeah, I'll
go. Go ahead, Spencer.
I'll go because I...
21. No, I have a sheet.
Let's see.
I'm down to 4 now.
Okay.
I'll do The Flash.
778. I read that.
So this is still dealing with Flash is in Gemworld with all the... magical characters chased that are possessed by Eclipso.
Justice League Dark has been corrupted by Eclipso.
Yeah. And there's, I forget the name of the character, but he's like a Gemworld villain, I think.
He's the wizard of Gemworld.
Yeah,
or
he's like, he's not affected by it. And they together go to this one place that they're supposed to be able to stop Eclipso, but it turns out that guy was actually still working with Eclipso, and the Flash is trapped, and like his body is all encased in this ice and stuff, and all the characters are beating up on him and stuff. And then so while that's happening, the other story of with the kids, because last issue Iris was snuck out of the house to go to her friends. And they get kidnapped by
people that want little metahumans.
Yeah,
to study and do things with.
And so Jay sees this, and he doesn't want to go and try to get help because he doesn't want to lose where they're taking him. So he ends up sneaking out after him.
So he has no powers, right? So you're like, how's he gonna fall? The next scene, they show him on top of the van.
Yeah, he just...
This little kid just riding on top of it. Yeah. I'm like, what? I'm like, okay, all disbelief's out the window. Okay, it's okay.
So yeah, then they take him to like this, like I don't think it's a barn, but it's like they're out in the woods a little bit. They got him cranked up, and like they give Iris like a double dose because they're worried about with her having the speed force, she might go through it a little quicker. Jay breaks into where they're hidden, you know, where they're being held at. He's able to take some of the power from Iris
because she zaps him with the speed force. Yeah. Meanwhile, it might kill him, but she says, "Do it anyway."
He wants to do it anyway.
Yeah, he's like, "Do it anyways."
Because his power, he didn't have super speed. He had like a strength kind of thing. Yeah. Because the one of the goons that kidnapped him is that the big like
is it barbaric.
Oh, like, isn't he, like, Mammoth or something from, he's, like...
I know from Teen Titans.
The big hairy guy. And he, you know, punches him out and stuff, but
he's like, oh, I broke my hand.
But then he starts to feel effect of the powers, but he's also can sense that,
dad's in trouble.
Yeah, that their dad, that Flash, is in trouble, and that's where it kind of ends right there. So they're doing they're gonna be doing a Nightwing crossover soon. I think it's probably just like an issue piece, but I mean, still, who cares? Yeah, that's cool. It should be good.
Not real. I mean, not about the story, but those crossover things. It's like such dissimilar books. It's like, how do I order this? Yeah. Where I sell 40 copies of Nightwing, but I'm selling 20 copies of Flash. So how do I order those? But and it's just
well, and also too, because it's that one, and then there's also Nightwing's having one with Superman. You know, too. So I figure that one would be the harder
just,
one. To
yeah,
try
it's just
that.
One of those ordering nightmare things.
Troy,
almost as much as good as sorry.
Oh.
Editorializing. Aquaman comes out this month, and they're all, I'm getting all these excited emails about it. And I'm like, I looked up. I'm like, Tim, how many copies of Black Manta 6 and the last issue of Aquaman: The Becoming sell?
Three,
five. Between the two books,
that many.
We sold
oh,
five
between
total.
The two.
And I'm like, so what do I order? Seven copies of Aquaman. It's a little hard to get excited about something that I'm hoping to sell seven copies of. And then they have, you know, two covers and a 1 in 25. I'm like, uh-huh, yeah, good luck. So that's going to be the rarest book ever. Okay, sorry.
Justice League 71. This is just kind of tying up, like, the...
Is it over yet?
The Royal Flush Gang. Story arc where they stole the Fortress of Solitude. But the best thing about this book is that it had, like, three, like, back-to-back-to-back double-page spreads with,
Supporter?
No, Hester. Philip Hester.
Oh.
Just doing fight scenes for the two, for the three. Because, like, oh, when cool. When they moved the thing, it messed with all the different stuff in the fortress and opened up portals and gateways to different, like, things. So there was, like I said, like, these three, like... So there are basically, like, six pages of them fighting. It was, So that's probably the, Like I said, that's probably the best part of the issue. But, yeah, like I said, he got his fortress back and stuff like that, and the for the Royal Flush Gang was I think was working for somebody else that was going after the Justice League, but and then the last one I'll talk about is Amazing Spider-Man. So this one
they're piling up on me.
this one was mostly a focused on Peter. And being trained by Black Cat and Captain America to try to get him back in the swing of being Spider-Man again after his, after his accident.
Is he fully recovered?
He's not bedridden in a hospital, but, like, he's still, like, when it comes to, like, fighting and things like that, he's still not up to par. They're making it kind of seem like that maybe when that thing went up, it might have did something to his powers too. Yeah. Maybe, like I said, there's like they do about like a week's worth of training and stuff like that. And there's this gag going on where they're not letting him wear the Spider-Man costume because he's not ready to be Spider-Man yet. So the first couple of days, they have him swinging around with a paper bag on his head, like, Bagman style.
He did that on a... Yeah. Where he had the Fantastic Four costume?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that they were paying homage to that or whatever, but that was pretty funny. And then, like, after a couple of days, he was doing something with Captain America, and he's like... I don't know why she just can't wait that you wear the mask. And he's like, that's what I'm saying. Like, so it's pretty funny. He's still, at the end of the issue, he still needs, a lot of work. But, he's, not giving up. And, he's going to continue to try and stuff like that. And then when they go to the Ben Reilly Spider-Man, they still show his therapist as being... held by the person, the lady who runs the Beyond Corporation, because she's also a clone from the whole clone saga, stuff like that. So she's like, you're just as easy to get rid of as anybody else. and stuff like that. And then they show Ben, and, like, they're talking to him, and he's like, I feel fine, and stuff like that. And somebody mentions, like, yeah, you know, with great power, and they, like, they stop, and Ben's like, what comes with great power? So, like, with them messing with his mind, he's starting to forget and lose a lot of things and stuff like that. And then the issue ends with Mary Jane walking back to her apartment, and Ben Reilly's girlfriend who escaped the Beyond Corporation is in her apartment asking for help because she has the drive that has all of the Beyond secret information on it and stuff. But when they show MJ walking into her apartment, she's in a full Catwoman, or a black woman, or
Black Cat
get up, because there, I guess that was last week, there was some Mary Jane, Black Cat, like, team up thing. Is that, like, was that just a one shot, or is that, like, a mini series?
Yeah, I think it was a one
shot. So I don't know, you know, if you want to know why she's in a Black Cat outfit, you know, read that. I figured that somebody just probably wanted to draw Mary Jane in a Black Cat costume, probably.
Probably, but that was the motivation.
But that was it, I think.
What you got?
Let's start with the Human Target. Number 4.
The art is just have to say, amazing.
There isn't any nudity in this book, but it's the sexiest book. I never use that word to describe.
Just them holding hands. But the
art and the writing together, it's unbelievable.
Fantastic.
I never said that. I heard Dave describe a book like
this. It's smoldering. It is
fantastic. And, but I had two problems with this issue.
Okay.
One, they misspelled Pittsburgh.
Yes, yes.
Two, they misspelled Occam in Occam's Razor.
Oh, okay.
It's OCC, and they added OCK. And I'm like, come on, guys. This is a big book.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, leaving the H off Pittsburgh. And people are like, oh, well, there's a Pittsburgh, Kansas. I'm like, I'm sure they. When you just say Pittsburgh, you mean Pittsburgh, Kansas. Sure.
Yeah.
So, but other than that.
How is Pittsburgh, Kansas spelled? Is it not with a...
No H. Yeah. But, oh, my God. Fantastic. I can't believe Greg Smallwood has been doing this for so little time, for as good as he is.
But this is the Blue Beetle issue. Christopher Chance and Ice go to Blue Beetle.
Right. Last issue, they were with Booster in the opening of his bagel store, and he mentioned that he had a silent partner. So they pretty much, or Christopher Chance assumes it's Blue Beetle. So they go to meet with Blue Beetle in the middle of being there. He gets a call that they have to go out. There's a bank robbery
in Utah.
And so he's like, well, you know, come along with me and we'll talk on the way.
Yeah.
And basically, and then it's just they have to fight a bear.
There's the Samuroids.
Yeah.
Are in Kansas. And Beetle just keeps on talking and talking.
God, he won't stop talking. And then, finally, at the very end, he gets him drunk just to make him stop talking.
Yeah.
But at that point, when he got him drunk, he revealed that he wasn't the silent partner.
Yeah.
He wasn't willing to do it, but Martian Manhunter came and asked him for a loan for the almost the same amount Booster was looking for.
Right.
So it looks like Martian Manhunter's actually the silent partner. But, Ice... Oh.
Yeah,
and also he realized, because there was this interesting thread that he was watching the fights very closely, and he kept seeing the same thing over and over, and you don't know what he's talking about, but at the end he realizes that she's holding back, and he's like, she's basically a god.
An interesting thing, they don't show any of the action or the fights or anything.
No.
It's just...
Yeah, but...
Christopher reacting to it.
But yeah, the smoldering guy's going to get madder and madder.
If Guy shows back up. But that was incredible book.
That was really good.
How many issues they did?
I think it's 12, because he has 12 days to live. So this was issue 4, and it's day 4.
Oh, each day?
Him trying to find out who murdered him.
X-Men.
I read that,
7.
Yeah.
You sounded excited there, Dave.
No, It was okay.
I feel like this issue should have been last issue, and last issue should have been this issue.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Because
I haven't read them yet. I'll read them backwards.
In the previous issue, we met the new hero, Captain Krakoa. And it turns out that he is Cyclops. Captain Krakoa is Cyclops in disguise.
Describe his costume.
How does he fly, though?
One of the customers was describing it.
Yeah, he says because it's Cyclops with grass in it.
Cyclops died.
Yeah, he died in a mission.
Well, this issue starts with Cyclops being resurrected, and Emma's there with him. And then we get a flashback to how Cyclops died. And X-Men go up against Dr. Stasis and his animal hybrids.
And Dr. Moreau vibe.
Yeah. And Cyclops gets his carotid artery, his neck, severed. And he dies. And basically he's doing this. Well, and then he becomes
Because it's a big fight, and everybody sees Cyclops die.
Yeah.
So he just can't come back.
He can't come back. They're trying to hide the resurrection process, especially because Ben Urich is investigating this, even though in the previous issue something's happened and he's forgotten all about this.
Yeah. So I just feel like it's weird because last issue, he was already this Captain Quora guy, and he was doing stuff, and then this issue, tell the backstory of that. I thought that was kind of weird. Because, last issue, I was like, when did he die? They mentioned how he has to be this guy because people saw him die.
Yeah.
I was like, did he die just, in, a different, one of the other many X-Men books that I don't, that I'm not reading?
Yeah, it was confusing at the end of that previous issue when they had the vigil for Cyclops.
Yeah.
But
I mean, other than that, I thought it was okay.
I did too. And then, I read there's the two text pages in the back.
I forgot to check those out.
They were interesting because in the story, Sync uses the power of Jean Grey.
Yeah, she's in space or something, right?
Yeah. So there's the first text piece is by Dr. Cecilia Reyes, and she says that the resurrection process kind of ups the mutants' powers a little bit, and they develop...
Oh, so each time they get a little boost?
Yeah. And she thinks that Sync may be becoming an Omega-level mutant.
Mm.
That he's able to, borrow these powers, from Jean Grey, even though she was out in space, or she doesn't have to be close to the person now.
That's an I like that concept. Is every time you come back, you get a little bit of a power boost,
or has muscle memory from using that power before, borrowing Jean's power before. The other one was, Forge has built 10 satellites, for communication between Arako and Krakoa, and each of the satellites has the tissue, the brain tissue of the mutants who are telepathic or
have
those kind of powers. And not too many, the only people who know about this are the Quiet Council and the X-Men. And Professor Xavier was the first one to donate he's into keeping secrets again. So he was the first one to donate his brain tissue.
I'm sure that was easy to get all them satellites up into space with nobody knowing.
Yeah, someone's going to find those out. Next, Stray Dogs. Stray Dogs, Dog Days number 2. This is the final issue. This little mini-series, some of it is some background on the dogs before they got to that murderer's house. And we see there's a story with Earl the Bloodhound when he was a young pup. He was the hero of the Stray Dogs, of the original Stray Dogs book at the end of the final issue. and it was a story about Henry, who's the male poodle, and how his lady was killed after the murder. You know, had a his plan went wrong at another house, and he saw Henry and his lady walking down the street. But it also offers a kind of a coda to the original series. We learn about Victor the Dalmatian. He was the Dalmatian at a fire department, and his lady was one of the victims. And at the end, we see the house after all this has taken place, and someone spray painted murder across the garage door, and the police department goes there to have a control burn and burns down the house. With, you know, there's like a little vigil going on there. It's really, really touching and nice. And there's some previews, two ads for some upcoming books by the creators of this. And there's one called Crosshair, H-A-R-E. And it just, the picture just shows like an automatic weapon, a gun with like a bunny rabbit.
Oh, God.
You know, real bunny rabbit, you know, sitting on top of it. And who knows what that means, but I think I'm in for that. And finally, I'll talk about Ice Cream Man.
I took it home to read. I didn't read it. My only problem with the issue was nowhere did it say Ice Cream Man on the cover.
Yeah.
It looked like an interior page of a book. And it was like, okay, this is great for the people that know what it is, but it's not exactly going to sell to new people.
But I won't give away the ending. But the story's about an etymologist who studies words, not an entomologist, who studies bugs, which they make the joke in the book. And
he studies words about bugs.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so the whole issue, he's like, when there's a word comes up, he'll go talk about its origin and meaning and all that kind of stuff. But it's the stories about a guy, etymologist, who goes, he's somewhere in Asia or something, and he's going to the top of a mountain to meet the monk at the top of the mountain who can tell him the first word ever spoken. And if you hear this in your ear, you have the power of a god, supposedly. So he has a guy named Sam with him, and then they have a guide named Katu, and the whole issue, they're going up the mountain to find the monk, and things do not go as he expected, of course. So there's not really good, another good story from those guys who do Ice Cream Man. That's it. That's all I got.
That's all you got? Okay.
So, other ones I have. Let's see. The Death of Doctor Strange. This one wrapped up. Where the last one was, it was revealed that it was Baron Mordo's assistant who'd actually killed Doctor Strange and had his hand surgically attached to his arm so that he had Doctor Strange's powers. He had also cast spells to protect him from any injury and stuff like that, so there was no way Doctor Strange could attack him with anything. But Doctor Strange does, and it works, and he's like, how? He cast a resurrection spell on him and basically resurrected himself through the hands because that was his soul. And so basically Doctor Strange was reborn, the body was reborn from the hands, killing the assistant. So now we have two Doctor Stranges, and they have to take on the three mothers and the baby that are trying to wipe out the Earth. So what they do is the young Doctor Strange goes into his corporeal form and is eaten by the baby. And because he's eaten whole, he's now inside the baby, and the baby has been eating magic, and he's full of magic. And the corporal Dr. Strange can then causes him to explode, and the mothers leave, and everything's safe and all done. And Dr. Strange is talking to Clea, and he had made a deal with the young Dr. Strange, and he basically tells Clea how much he means to him, and I guess passes the power of Sorcerer Supreme onto her before he dies, because death doesn't give up, and just because he came back from the dead doesn't mean there's still not a price to pay. And basically, he's reclaimed afterwards. So now Doctor Strange is really dead.
Sure.
Yeah, thanks. We have DC versus Vampires 4. Otto Schmidt art on this is outstanding. This has been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed this. At the last one is Green Lantern bites Wonder Woman. And it starts off, it's Constantine talking to Zatanna. They're talking in the bar, having a good old time, and
she's a vampire.
Constantine
now, right?
knows that she's a vampire, and she goes to attack him, and he casts a spell on her and stops her. And they're just basically sitting around BSing. It's like, you're still my friend, you know. And how is it being undead and all this? And then Dr. Fate shows up, and you know, it's like, come on, Constantine, we have this. There's this great war, and he kills Zatanna, which makes Constantine real mad. It's like, that was my friend. It's like, no, she was the enemy. Then we switch to the Batcave, where Batman is talking to Alfred about something, and all of a sudden he like hears something, and he gives a code to Alfred, says something, I forget what it was, but it was a code to Alfred, because you could tell Alfred like goes, oh, okay, yes, sir. And then, so all of a sudden, an arrow shoots into Batman, but it's not and then Green Arrow comes up, and he's like, oh, I got you, and oh, crap, because he realized it was just a dummy in a Robin costume, but the silhouette was still Batman. So then he and Batman have this big fight with each of them thinking the other is a vampire. And then they realize at the end of the fight that they're not. Like, Batman was trying to stake Green Lantern. He's like, why are you trying to stake me? He's like, wait, you think I'm a... And Batman's like, wait, you thought I was. And then they realize they're not. So then they're talking, and Batman tells them about Hal. And basically the whole Justice League shows up. And it ends up with Batman and Green Arrow having to take on the Justice League. And that's how it ended. But it's been really good. Batman realizes there's somebody above Hal. Hal's not the head of this. And so they're going to have to find
that. Who do you think it is?
I don't know. So this is the Death of Doctor Strange, where they did like an homage cover type thing. There was a Thor one where it was Journey into Mystery 83. Why would they use that for Doctor Strange? Doctor Strange is not on that at all. I'm confused. But then the last one I read was The X Lives of Wolverine, number one. And I was really hoping this would clear up what happened in the X Deaths of Wolverine. Not so much. It starts off, you have Moira McTaggart, and it's showing where at the end of Inferno, when they cast her out of Krakoa, and she realizes she's going to be hunted, and she steps through the gate and ends up back in Scotland, and she knows that Mystique is going to be hot on her trail, and she has to go into hiding, and she starts coughing, and while she's coughing, she coughs up blood. So then she goes to see Jane Foster. So what hospital this is, I don't know. How she got from Scotland to wherever Jane Foster is a doctor, I don't know. And turns out she has cancer. And there's nothing they can do because the Krakoan medicine won't help with that. And then a nurse shows up and tells Jane Foster that there's an emergency in the morgue. So Jane leaves. Turns out it's Mystique. They start fighting. Then Jane turns into Valkyrie, comes in the window and starts fighting Mystique. And Moira gets away. Then we go back to Krakoa. Where, what is it, Jean, and there's a resurrection, Wolverine's on the little, oh, it's Professor X and Jean Grey, and it looks like Wolverine is being resurrected or something, he looks dead on the table, and all of a sudden, it's like Warlock Wolverine shows up, and he'd already killed Black Tom. And so then we get this, which I don't know what this is. And I'm reading this book totally confused. I don't know what's going on. And I'm like, okay, at least it's weekly, so it'll be over soon. But it's just like, I don't like reading when I literally have no idea what's going on. That's not a whole lot of fun. So that's what I read
what
this week.
Aren't you missing something? Two things?
What?
Your deep impact.
I forgot to bring home number three.
This is bullcrap, Colin.
I will. I had number four. I'm like, I could probably just read number four without reading number three and understand.
No, because you have to review each separate issue.
I will. I know. I will. I will. I'll make sure I take it home.
What's coming out next week?
Sorry, you're so disappointed in me.
We are crushed.
I know. So next week from Diamond, we are getting, Dave, are you ready for this? The Archie Love and Heartbreak Special.
Yes.
We also have Draculina number one from...
Vampirella's cousin?
Sister.
Sister.
But the weird thing is, she's preteen. Yet, if you saw any of the covers, hoo-ha! So, but I only have covers A through Y coming in.
That's it?
That's it. We have Faithless Volume 3. That's the Brian Azzarello...
Naughty book.
Naughty book. We have The Fourth Man
don't
number
read it,
2.
Dave.
Yeah, no, Dave, don't go near that one. The Fourth Man number 2. That's the AWA book. We have Good Boy number 3 from my friend Christy Blanche. That both dogs are interested in. King of Spies number 3. I like number one. I really like number two.
Yeah, two is good.
It's only four, so. Mike, we have Monkey Meat number two is next week.
You
should also read
pass.
Monkey Prince, so you can keep your monkey.
No, I'm not. I'm done with monkeys.
Okay.
Thank you.
Norse Mythology Volume 3 starts up. We have the Prophet number one facsimile edition.
The Rob Liefeld?
Yeah, baby. Which would you like, the Liefeld cover?
No.
The Capullo cover, the Liefeld cover, the Miller cover, or the Keith cover?
Did you say Miller?
Yeah,
as in Frank Miller?
I believe so. Seven Secrets 14, and Vampirella Valentine's Day Special.
That's the gift that keeps on giving.
Sorry, DC, we have too many pages. Batgirls number 3. Batman Catwoman number 10. Detective 1052. Did anybody talk about Detective? No.
No. Okay. I read it, but I know Pat normally covers that one. And did more carrying on the story of the tower and stuff. Okay. It's still pretty good.
Justice League Annual number 1. Pennyworth number 7, wrapping up that series. This one was annoying because when I do the TV show, I go through the catalog. And so I did this one for their Valentine's Day special, which was Weird Love. Then I'm looking for the cover. I'm looking for it, and it's not coming up under Weird Love. Because they changed the title to Strange Love. I'm like, okay. So Strange Love Adventures is their big chunky anniversary book, or holiday book. We have Suicide Squad Blaze, which actually sounds really good. There's this program where they give criminals really powerful powers, but it's only for a very short time. So if you're in life, is it worth going out and at least doing something? So, and then the Suicide Squad is in charge of keeping an eye on these people, and they have to take on a bad guy who's as powerful as is Superman, but no ethics and everything. It just sounded kind of interesting. And then from Marvel, you're not going to believe this, Spencer. We have Amazing Spider-Man next week. But it's 88 Bay, so it's a Beyond issue. We have Avengers 53, Devil's Reign 4, Maestro World War M, which was the last part of the Peter David Maestro trilogy, Darth Vader 20, The Secret X-Men, number 1, and The X-Deaths of Wolverine, number 2. So maybe we'll see if it makes any more sense.
Probably not.
No. Yeah, these first two have just been very confusing. So, like, the first half was good. The Moira stuff all made sense, and then it just kind of went, So, that's what we've got going on in February. For Book Club, we are doing Saga Volume 1. That's going to be on the 25th. And for the month, because of its 30th anniversary, we're doing Image Month. So all Image graphic novels are double points. We have a lot to choose from. So ask for any recommendations or whatever you want. So, if you have any questions or want to comment or get a hold of us, the website's pittsburghcomics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. So let's see. Since you came back, Dave, send us home.
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.